Throughout the preparation, book of James, which, you know, we've been going through, and throughout the preparation, it was about Friday, maybe Friday afternoon, Saturday, I can't remember. I've been doing a lot of that lately, not remembering. But as I got into the Word, you know, as we always should, we should get into the Word, we should be praying about it. And I even hate using words like this, the Lord directed me in a different way, but He did. And the things that have been on my heart was to really do more of a New Year's message, a year that which has been a doozy, I think we can all agree on. But the title of today's message is, where are we spinning the wheels in our lives? Where are the wheels of our lives spinning? And it's not, are they spinning? I ask that specific question, and always know, you know, for those who don't know, everything that I will be speaking about, the questions that I have been directed to me first. I think you can always speak to anybody who's in the pulpit here. Everything that has been worked out, this isn't a finger-pointing time. Anybody that we know who stands in here has to wrestle with the scriptures, have to preach to themselves first. So please know, if you don't know me, that the Spirit is just one beggar telling another beggar where to get bread. But so I ask the question, where are the wheels spinning in our life? I believe, obviously, it's someplace they're spinning somewhere. It has been a tremendous year. The last maybe 2 years has been tremendous. I think we can agree on that. I know many in the church have experienced loss. I know some have experienced tremendous loss, horrific loss. I know there's been blessings too. We've all had victories, and you know, if we're honest, we've had failures as well. So it's been a tremendous year. And not to diminish any of the loss, any of the failures, any of the things that we wrestle with, there's something that I think we also can agree on. This has been a tremendous year of division. A tremendous year of division, which causes it causes division. There's no other way to say it. I mean, there's been all kinds of divisions over masks, vaccinations, political parties, political candidates, what's going on in our schools. You know, for those who still have kids in school, I still do. We homeschool, but nonetheless, we're faced with some of those things. There's been a lot of things. Visiting people in the hospital. I know I couldn't visit my dad in the nursing home when he was dying. So, again, challenged by a lot of things. There's been restrictions on travel. There's been restrictions on even in the hospital. There's been a lot of trying things. And businesses have been lost. I know several people in my industry, people that I know who have lost their business, irrecoverable because of the shutdowns. And we can argue why. We can have a viewpoint as to why and to what degree and all those things. But in terms of it being a new year, in terms of thinking of last year, I guess it's my desire, it's something for myself and that I want for you guys. We need to be still, and we need to do a lot of reflection and a lot of meditation. And I don't mean, you know, I mean coming before the Lord. I mean putting ourselves before the Lord, considering what His Word has to say, looking back with intent of analyzing what's been going on. Because there's division everywhere. There's division in our place of work because of all obviously the current things that are going on with COVID. There's divisions in home. You know, you have one person having this view, you have the other person having that view. Lots of all types of conflict. Again, places of work, school, churches, neighborhoods, going into stores. There's division everywhere. Court cases, high-level court cases, which it doesn't matter what it is, but then riots result. And why are there riots? And people say, why do they let it happen? Well, this is why. It's a legitimate reason. The point is this division. This division in police departments. There's division everywhere. And this is not nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. I was thinking yesterday morning, you know, as I was writing these things down, this is bleak, this is horrible, and this is like the worst time ever. But if we could pause for a moment before we think like this is the worst time ever, let's go back to World War II, where believers were in Germany, where German believers, and the war breaks out. What are we naturally going to think? This is it. This is it. This is the worst time ever. And please, I'm not minimizing war. I'm not saying those people who got bombed out should not think that way. But there have always been wars and rumors of wars. Please hear me, like, delicately. And you guys are going to have to work hard this morning because you're going to have to help me out here. But just think of what I'm trying to get across. Everybody thinks they live in the worst times. When trials and tragedies and failures hit us, it is the worst time. And it is for us momentarily. But broadly, there's nothing new under the sun. And it's so easy to get swept up in movements, as legitimate as they are, social injustices, again, everything to deal with what's going on with the COVID and everything else. But again, I was reminded of last winter. I was in my truck. I was working. I was pulling up into this driveway, and it was in a rural part of Rhode Island. It's beautiful, nice wide driveway. I pull in. I go up to the house. I'm doing my thing, and it was a windy, cold day, and the driveway was sort of icy. It was splotchy, and it was somewhat wet. So I'm coming back from the house, and I'm just about to get in the car. Get in the truck, and I start to slide. Now, I had always thought this driveway was perfectly flat, but it wasn't. It was windy. I started to move, and zero traction. My wheels are spinning. I'm in between this beautiful home. I'm looking to my right, beautiful garage. I mean, it's not like a garage, you know, where you just tuck your car in. It's like a garage shop. It was a beautiful thing. And I'm in the truck, and I'm trying to get my traction back, and I'm jamming it into, you know, forward, nothing. Spinning forward. We all know that if you've driven in the snow. Trying to back up. And these tires are smoking. There's steam coming out. There's zero traction. And all the while, I'm just gently and ever so steadily, because of the wind, and I'm drifting toward this garage. And I'm like, this is a nightmare. What's going on? Beautiful garage. And I start to go. And then my front tire grabbed the snow mound, and I stopped. Now I'm stuck. And I'm thinking, there was all kinds of movement in that vehicle. The engine was revving out. The wheels are spinning. There's snow and ice being flailed. The temperature gauge is rising. The tachometer is rising. All this action in is going on, and there's zero traction. And I'm wondering, where have we been as we look back where all this is going on, whether it's again, everything that we had mentioned, circumstances of life where we've lost our traction and we're just moving with no progress. We're not moving with any plan or purpose. We're just trying to get through this horrific moment where you're just ever so gently going into this tremendous accident. Where are our wheels spinning? And this is what was brought back to me. So, in spite of all these good things that are legitimate, you know, the whole COVID thing and everything that goes with that, all our legitimate compassions, again, for social justice, the convictions that we have, our ideology, our worldview, the circumstances that we find ourselves in, have we lost our way? Have we lost our grip? Have we lost traction at all? I mean, do we even consider that maybe we've lost our way? Have we even considered, in everything that has happened in this year, that we're just spinning our wheels and we've been overrun? We've been overrun with, I didn't hear the message last week. I know Chaplain Rob, I heard a bit of it about, you know, there's all kinds of fears going on. I think he mentioned that, and I've yet to hear it. I didn't get a copy of it yet. But this is what I've been thinking about, and this is what I think we need to consider. Because, you know, when life happens hard, It happens fast. We're not always in control of the duration and the depth that we go to and the level of trials, separations, sicknesses, everything. You know, I'm using everything that here is just an idea that you can bring to yourself and you put yourself in your own circumstance. But have we lost track? If we've lost track and we're being divided, especially with areas of divisions, now, because it is the new year, is a tremendous time to stop spinning our wheels, whether it be just activity, not dealing with things, just go, because eventually, getting back to the analogy of being in the truck, we're either going to hit the snow mound and we're going to stop and we're going to be stuck, or it could get worse and we're going to hit the garage. And there's going to be even more stuff to deal with, more circumstance, more things to overwhelm us. So these are some of the things that I want all of us to consider this morning. Two passages of scripture that has come to mind in these last few days, really just out of my personal devotions that I've decided to share this morning, and that is the Tower of Babel. And I want to read something. So Genesis chapter 11, I'm going to read a little bit more than I anticipated initially, just for context's sake. But I'm going to read from Genesis 11, I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. It says, "Now the whole earth had one language in the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And then we'll have some brick for stone and bitumen for mortar.' Then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top to the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth.' And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, 'Behold, they are one people, and they all have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing they will propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech.' So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord dispersed them over to the face of the earth." Now, there's a couple of points. I don't know how familiar you are with the text or the story, but there's a couple of things, kind of humorously, that the text points out. And that's the men, the children saying, come, let us. And so Jesus says, come, or the Lord says, come, let us. Now, that may not mean much, but, you know, to stick in your hat for another day, that is a reference to the Trinity. And, just like in Genesis 1, when it says, "Let us make man in our image." Just a footnote, but it's just something to keep there. And secondly, the name Babel. Now, here we go. Originally, the Akkadian name of the city, Babel, to them, to the people at that time, meant gate of God. So think about what's going on here. These are sinners. These are people who are trying to make themselves autonomous from God. They don't want to obey God. They're trying to be like mini gods. They're trying to build this building to get to heaven. Twin Towers weren't around. Any of the tall buildings that we have today would make this building pale. Yet they thought they were achieving this great building. They were called ziggurats. I don't know if you've ever seen them in pictures. They had stairs, which to their mind, to their motivation and understanding, was to allow these gods to come from heaven because they've attained it. It's in the heavens. I don't know how tall it was. I didn't do that much research on that, but it's really not the point. The point is they thought in their mind they're building this massive structure and the gods can come down and we can go up. And again, getting back to either a play on words or some sort of humor from God's eyes, God said, just like they said, when they reasoned with themselves, come, let us do this, let us build this. And so Jesus, God is saying, come, let us go down. Excellent point of fact Jesus is always, the Lord is always condescending to us. And he uses the same language. He uses the same type of things that, not that he was necessarily going to come down the ziggurat, but in that language, it was he was condescending to them. And he said, let us go down and see what this has done. So the whole thing was, man thought he could be independent of God, could rule his life, could build to the heavens. The attitude was, hey, you know what? We can do just about anything. So the Lord comes down. He says, let us come down. And he says, no, I'm going to disperse them. And which in the text, if you remember reading it, they were afraid. They didn't want to be dispersed. They wanted to stay in the city, i.e. be in control. They wanted the environment nicely organized. They didn't want to be dispersed. And there's a whole lots of reasonings. But please hold tight to the bullet points that I'm trying to bring out here this morning. They wanted to be like God. They were autonomous of God. They didn't want the God of Israel. They wanted a God in their own fashion. Nothing new under the sun. This happens over and over again. We do the same thing. So God says, no, this is the Tower of Babel, but not because it's the gate of God, but because I'm going to confuse your tongue. What does this have to do with what we're trying to talk about this morning? The question that I have is, are the things that we go through, this whole COVID thing, everything we've mentioned, the circumstances in our life, has this become our Babel? Has this become our Tower of Babel? And what I mean by that is kind of twofold. God disrupted their language so they couldn't attain this, in man's pride and arrogance to build this structure that could bring them to the heavens and have gods of their own fashion. So when he divided the languages, people were dispersed, and then you had, and I'm so speaking so superficially, you had the French and the Germans and whatever languages that existed then and exist now. But is what we're going through now, is this our Babel? Is this our Tower of Babel? Is God, who was judging unbelievers, or a pagan world, pagan unbelievers, could possibly we could apply this understanding of the Tower of Babel to the church? That God is dividing our tongues, figuratively. Because if he is, he's doing it for our repentance. He's doing that to us to regroup, to repent, to get about more important things, not to be so overwhelmed and distracted. And some of the fallout of that is, in any of the things that we mentioned, all the social justices, vax, masks, anything, what's going to happen? The Germans are going to huddle up with the Germans with one ideology about all these things, whatever we're facing in life. If 10 of us are facing unemployment, we're all going to huddle up. And we're going to huddle up under that language, and we're going to just kind of commiserate and tune everybody else out. We can't communicate. If we're French, we're going to have this ideology, and we're going to group together by this. You see what I'm trying to say? Are we going to have these groups based on language? Are we going to have these groups in the church solely based on political bent? Right? Are you with me? Social things, all these types of things, and start to live so horizontal, start to live so temporally, start to be overrun by so many things. We forgot the whole reason why we're here. The very best thing we can do this morning with all the things that are on our heart, concern for loved ones, children, sickness, fear of legitimate stuff, not fear, but let's just say we should be concerned about certain things, finances, whatever we have. If that overrules everything that we've been designed to be, why we have been designed and created, we're short-circuiting ourselves, we're living in sin, and we're living temporally. And that ought not to be. And we ought not to be caught up, again, playing out this analogy, well, I'm French, well, I'm German, well, I'm Swahili, I don't know if that's a language, but I'm of those people, and we're divided. And we've lost our common ground. We've lost our common ground in Christ. We've lost our common ground in evangelizing. This ought not to be. This ought not to be. These are my concerns that I have. And again, it is in this church, but it's in the church. It's a global. There's divisions all over the place. But nothing's new under the sun. Think back. If we all lived in World War II, we'd all think it's done. We're done. Jesus is going to return. This can't get any worse. We've got a madman killing 6 million people, which was found out after the fact. But you see what I'm trying to say? As devastating and as awful as that war was, or any war, I'm just picking on that because it was, you know, readily to our memories and all the stuff that happened in the Holocaust and the damage and all that stuff. But if we get overwhelmed with that, and if we get satisfied that the war's over, there's been a truce, and our current, you know, shortages of tires and gas, and now we have our food, and now we have all these niceties back, and we're going back to normal. If we plateau at that, we are so deceived. We are so taken out of the Christian life, because the pagans want those things. The unbelieving world, they want a nice family. They want to just go to work. They want, you know, they want to send their kids to school. They don't want long gas lines. They want rubber for their tires. Do you see what I'm trying to say? If we are just so caught up in making nice this side of heaven, that's not what we were created to be. We have been created to be changed into the image and likeness of God. We have been created to worship him. Again, the very best thing we can do this morning, as I started to say, I don't know if I'm repeating myself, with all the stuff that's going on, right now, as obedient, loving believers, is to worship God this morning and entrust rightfully all these things that challenge us. Not, oh, they're not real. They are real. They hurt. They stink. They cost us stuff. They affect us. But just don't let it ever override our privilege and our joy to worship the Lord. Because once that stops, we're going to be taken out. Usually what happens in the Christian life, in the Christian walk, and I say this only because I've been around a little bit and I've had my own failures. We start to walk in Christ. You become new in Christ. You're excited. You understand the gospel at least as best you can. You understand that you've been forgiven. And you're out there and you're strong and you're ready to go. And you want to tell everybody about Jesus. And the monotony of life comes in. And you pray. And things aren't going so well anymore. And the disappointments in life and the failures of life and the wrong expectations that we have in life don't come to pass, and we get disillusioned. Well, you know, some of that can be true and can be real, but if we don't have other believers around us to say, listen, this is the Christian life. You're going to be disillusioned. Things are not going to go the way you want them to go. We're going to suffer loss. We're going to have ills put against us. And guess what? We're going to put ills against other people. We're going to be the victimizer and we're going to be the victim. What do we do with that? Beginning of the year, this year is a good time to reflect and to analyze and to think. The areas that I've been, you know, carrying with the analogy, spinning my wheels, the areas that I've been caught up with, is it even possible that I could be partly wrong? Is it even possible that I've been spending my life or spinning the wheels of my life in this area in vain? It absolutely is. It absolutely is. So are we going to go into 2022? What's that definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. This sounds dismal. All the stuff, all the topics that I brought up, it sounds dismal, but it isn't. It isn't. I want to read one more passage. And just a couple of things that we can, before we get to this, there's a couple of things I want us to think about as we read these things. Ephesians 5, 15 and 17. Look carefully then. This is our personal responsibility. It's not the church's responsibility. It's not our spouse's responsibility. It's not our children's responsibility. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. Look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but wise. Making the best use of your time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what is the will of the Lord. Colossians 4, 5. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders. Making the best use of your time. So our considerations are so much more than just the imminent things that we face personally, or even as a church, or even as a family, or even as a work group. I want to read something to you again from Haggai. This is the command to build a temple, to rebuild a temple. It's a little bit long, but it's to kind of put things in context. It says this: in the second year of Darius, the king in the sixth month, of the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak. This feels like Wednesday night Bible study. The high priest. Okay, here we go. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say, the time has not come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while the house lies in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so and puts them into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways again. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build a house that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. You look for so much and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts, because my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house, therefore the heavens above you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce, and I have called a drought on the land and the hills, on the grain and the new wine, the oil, and on what the ground brings forth, and man and beast and all their labors. This passage has struck me. How do we live our lives? What do we consider? We do all these things. If we let the house of the Lord go, everything we do becomes in vain. And God, in his, I want to read the commentary here before I go on. This is what it says. Although Haggai is the second shortest book in the Old Testament, it is rich in profitable teachings for the church. Though Haggai is a messenger, the Lord calls upon the unfaithful remnant of his covenant people to repent and to rebuild his temple. God's concern is based upon his own sovereign pleasure and his desire to be honored. Stop right there. Is it right for God to be honored and God to be glorified? Absolutely. Is he like a man where he's proud and puffed up? Absolutely not. The people's lack of concern to build the temple showed their deep lack of desire for God's special presence. They were under the curses of the covenant, but did not realize it. In response to Haggai's ministry, the Lord stirred up the spirit of the people, and they obeyed. Do you see the process that's been going on here? God's people disobeyed. They went astray. They didn't consider their ways. They were doing all these things, making money, putting it in a bag with holes. Sometimes God actively comes against us as his people, as his children, and he blows it away. And he does it to bring about repentance. He does it to bring about the priority of his glory and his concern. But also they didn't realize what was going on. And we say to ourselves, we rationalize to ourselves, we're doing everything right. I don't do what Hitler did. I don't do what this guy did. I don't do what this girl did. We're performing. We're doing. And you're not. You're being very busy, and you're not about the priorities that God has on us first as believers. And yes, God will sometimes come against us to bring us, as a good father would, he'll bring us discipline. We all know that, and we can all accept it the minute we put it in terms of boss, employee, parent, child. Well, this is my company. I have every right to put you on probation. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be here at such and such a time. Your job is this. You're not doing it. Listen, you either change, i.e. repent, come under my authority as boss, owner, whatever, and start doing your job as I've defined it. Yeah, but I'm washing the windows. Wow. I didn't ask you to wash windows. You're to be the bookkeeper. You're to be something else. You see what I'm trying to say? And we rationalize, we're doing all these busy things. But that's not what I asked you to do. And even if I did, I didn't ask you to do it first. So we have to consider our ways. There's a lot of good things that we should consider. Just to get off a little bit on the whole, the divisions that have been caused by the current circumstances. I hope you're receiving this as encouragement, because it didn't encourage me at first. It very rarely does. But after I got through the whole thing, I started to say, man, 22s. This is going to be great. This is the way we need to live our life. Thank you. Thank you for the little bit of instruction. Thank you for the challenge to my priorities, et cetera. But here are some questions that I've asked to myself, and I think we need to remind ourselves with. Please don't be insulted, but they're legitimate things to consider. Do we as believers, professing believers in Christ, do we know the gospel? Do we know the full gospel? Do we know the bad news as well as the good news? You can preach Christ, you can preach, the goodness and the forgiveness of God, but if that person doesn't know he's a sinner and rightfully worthy of judgment, it avails very little. You need the full gospel. Do we know it? Are we sharing it? Are we evangelizing it in full? Are we getting to the point where we can bring them actually to the prayer, if you will, seal the deal maybe in sales terms? Are we prepared? Do we know it? Are we passive about it? Are we engaged? Do we understand at our conversion that we've been given spiritual gifts, not talents? We all have talents. Most of the time, I like sitting up there hiding. I sort of pretend to play the drums. I'm happy. That's a talent. Playing guitar, talent. Juggling, talent. Do we realize that as a believer in Christ, we've been given a spiritual gift? At least one. Do we know it? Are we working toward cultivating it and developing it and implementing it? Are we aware of those things? How is God working in my life? How has God been working in my life in 2021? And specifically, not, as I said, oh, he's there to transform us into the image and likeness of Christ. Blanket statement, bullet point. He does that for all believers. That's something that God does. That's something we participate in. But how is he working in your life in this season and circumstance in life? Let's say December, from December on. Are we aware of how he's working in our life? Are we open to it? Are we just spinning our wheels? Are we just doing the status quo, the religious things? I don't know. These are questions. I'm not looking for an answer. These are questions we have to answer ourselves. But these are things that we need to consider for this new year if we want a very blessed year. It may not be a happy year, but it certainly can be a blessed year. Just thinking humanly in terms of flipping the calendar over. But we have an opportunity now and, in the next few days, the next week, to consider these things and to find out where we're at. You know what? Kind of reveals and we betray our own heart. The areas that we do prepare. Now, I don't do the techie thing. I know I've mentioned this many times. My son gave me a tablet. So to help me, why don't you use a tablet? Just give me a notebook, right? So I use this. I don't use a tablet, but I'm trying to get up on these things. But I do have a day planner, and they're in there right now. And it's a whole day planner with multicolored crayon box, because each color represents a certain person, my wife, my kids, my responsibilities at work, my mother, my dad before he passed. And I needed that visual to get things straight, and I needed to write it down. And I think it does help to write things down. I think Carol was mentioning earlier about, I don't want to go because I don't want to misquote you. But the point is, I had to write these things down. I had to take some time and effort in that. Because I want to get through the week. I just want to get through the week. I don't want to forget things. So I make time for that. It's important. It's the calendar year has flipped over. So when we have our taxes to do, very likely we have personal taxes to do. And if we have a business tax to do, things get complicated even more. If we have multiple properties, if we have a big company versus being self-employed, there's a ton of work. There's a ton of things that we're going to see to it that we get done because they have to be done and they should be done, and we don't want any bad repercussions. We don't want to, I didn't file my taxes for 20 years. it's going to come back on us at some point. You see what I'm saying? But we make the time for these things. What I'm encouraging us, again, this isn't fair, is we need to consider our ways. I think we need to reflect in any way from last year. Have we been wrong? Has an ideology been wrong? Has our bent been wrong? Has how we communicated things been wrong? No matter what it is. Have we been right, but we've been right in a wrong way? Because remember, the whole theme is spinning our wheels and the division that it causes, the division that has been, that we're all been challenged with, again, from all the previous things mentioned. But we will get those taxes done, especially if there's a refund. We will get that day planner done because I got to keep my week straight. We will plan our vacation because you just can't show up at the airport and say, I want to go to Timbuktu. You need to make reservations. Oh, so that takes a little bit of planning. Oh, it takes a little bit of forethought. Oh, I mean, I got to sit down and plan it out? Yep, we do those things. And all I'm saying is they're not wrong. But we just can't forget to consider our ways and to consider our walk, how we walk. Are we just being religious? Are we just spinning our wheels spiritually? A couple of bucks in the plate. You know, we do the crackers and the juice, and then we come and we can't wait to get out. But, you know, we've checked that box, and then Tuesday comes along. Then the phone rings, like it did this morning at 2:15, and, you know, trials at the door. And we get very humble then, and we are ready to seek the Lord, and we are in a place of humility and brokenness, as we should be. I'm just saying, and it's please take this as absolute encouragement. Is this our way? You know, without the phone call at 2:00 in the morning, without the bad news of possibly losing your job, has it become our way? Or are we just in the Tower of Babel? Are we divided by our languages? Are we divided by our ideologies? Are we under, because remember, initially God had that Tower of Babel, he divided the languages because he's going to bring judgment, i.e. being dispersed, and they didn't want to be dispersed. The original command was to go forth throughout the whole earth and multiply. And they didn't want to do that. They wanted control. They wanted to know what they know. They wanted to live how they wanted to live. Wanted to worship God how they wanted to worship God. We're going to build a building. We're going to go up, and he can come down. And, you know, to blend Haggai, I blew it away. So please consider these things. These are good things. These are outstandingly good things that we need to consider. That may take a little bit of time, may take a little bit of reflection, may take a little bit of humility. You know what? Maybe I was wrong. Maybe I wasn't completely wrong. And those are the hard things, are they not? Because remember, the average unbeliever that we see going around, a Muslim, our Jewish friends two doors down, agnostics, they share the same things in life. Car won't start, kid's sick, lost my job. We all can commiserate the human plight. Loss of loved ones, sickness, all kinds of financial trouble. But we have a dual citizenship. We are citizens of this world, of this earth, and we're citizens of heaven. And if we can get our heavenly citizenship in first place, in first priority, it's going to make our earthly citizenship really just kind of fall into place. If you picture it like a day planner or whatever is on the, you know, an electronic device. But it's going to take some adjustment. It's going to take considering our ways. It's going to take, maybe I was wrong in this area. Maybe I really have. I know I've always wanted to prioritize this, but I haven't. And those sins that so easily beset us, those sins that, again, we've mentioned this before, the sins that we love, not that bad. We're all human. Those rationales that just are eating us alive and causing us divisions, and we're reaping bad things. You know what? And if I'm doing horrible, terrible things, and I'm a member of this church, a member of a Bible study, a member, I'm bringing all those things into this local assembly. We don't sin on our own. We affect each other's lives, and that's sobering. But it's also encouraging because we know how things can turn out. We know we need to love one another, endure with one another, and participate in all these things. So it's a process. So please be encouraged by the things, maybe that ultimately that the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, has been ministering to you, one or two things. It doesn't have to be even be on this list, but you do have to be open to it. You have to avail yourself to it. And then it's like, yeah, it's time to be a big boy now. It's time to be a big girl. Are we going to step to the plate, hash it out, figure it out, engage, make some changes? How about this? I don't know how to make this change. I know I need to do it. Is there anybody who can help me? Do we have people in our lives that can help to walk through this life? Might take some humility. I'm going through something, and I don't know. If you want to be sought out, God will bring people into your life to walk through these hard things in life, or to make the changes, to be held accountable, but not with the finger pointing, in the spirit of love and brotherly love. And we are our brother's keepers. Absolutely we are. And guess what? You get a little victory, you spill over to you, and you get some victory, and it spills over to me, and we're all encouraged despite the hardship or the sorrow. We see God's plan at work. What is God's plan? Well, it's got to be more than a spouse and a nice job and a nice car and stuff. It's got to be more than that. It's going to be a change of character, a willingness to go through all the nonsense that we mostly reap to ourselves and admit, I was wrong. I just don't want to admit I was wrong. So back to the insanity definition. I'm just going to keep doing the same thing. Hopefully it'll change so I don't have to do it and I can just sneak in, but we know that doesn't work. It's called spinning your wheels. Please be encouraged. Please take these things in a spirit of love. From me today, and not a spirit of condemnation, but a spirit of encouragement and a spirit of vitality for the new year, spiritually speaking, that the new year can bring. Let's pray. Father, we entrust to you your word this morning, Lord, as we consider communion, as we consider the tremendous sacrifice that was made on our behalf. And because of that faith in Christ, we live a totally brand new life, a life full of new challenge, a life that is not just based on our citizenship on earth, but a life that is based on a dual citizenship. We have twice the responsibility. We have an enemy who tries to discourage, attack, malign, and discourage us, Lord. We have our own sin that we, even though we're in Christ and we're completely and fully forgiven permanently, we still wrestle with the frailties of our flesh while we walk this side of heaven, Lord. So encourage us for the new year. Help us to reflect on any and all that maybe has been brought to our mind or in the coming days, Lord. And help us. Help our unbelief. Help our unwillingness to adapt. Help our unwillingness to make the changes that are necessary. Bring us your people to help those things to become affected, Lord. So we thank you, Lord. Again, we lift up to you those who are not with us, those who are sick, those who are our way. And, all we can say is thank you. That's all we can say. We thank you, and we wait expectantly upon you because of who you are, as a perfect God, a holy God, and an absolutely righteous Father. So we thank you.